Starting a business can seem like a daunting task, unless you have a partner like Shopify. They have the tools you need to start and grow your business. From designing a website to marketing to selling and beyond, Shopify can help with everything you need. There's a reason millions of companies like Mattel, Heinz, and Allbirds continue to trust and use them. With Shopify on your side, turn your big business idea into sign up for your $1 per month trial at shopify.com/special offer.
Right when Billy got fired, a bunch of names came up. You think Lane Kiffin will take it? You think they want Lane? Do you think Lane would take it? What's up, everybody? Welcome in to another edition of Crane & Company, almost to 200,000 subs. So let's get with the program. If you're not subbed, let's go ahead and do it. If you are subbed, go tell somebody else to sub.
Tell your friends. Tell your friends.
Tell everybody. Tell your enemies, right? Because they could be your friends. Most of mine are. You know, here at Crane & Company, we pride ourselves on trying to bring in the get. Let me get through it, gentlemen. We pride ourselves on trying to bring in the best guests to give you the best content, not the best continent. We all know that's North America. To keep you ahead of what's going on in the coaching carousel is in full swing. So we thought, you know, as usual, David Cohn, who we love, former Michigan quarterback right here.
You just said you love your enemies, though, so I don't know what to think now.
Well, see, that's exactly, I got you right where I want you. Then Blaine Crane, former Western State Colorado wide receiver. We decided to bring in, from On Three, we call him Sneaky Pete. Some call him St. Pete. But his mother calls him Pete Nackos. Pete, what's up, buddy? How's it going?
What's up, brother?
Hey, man, good to finally get you in the dojo.
I appreciate it. You got great digs.
Yeah, look, it's very emotional. There's always good vibes in the gym, regardless of how it's going. There's so many things that are going on, and I want to start on one part of it, the part of the coaching searches that we know they are replacing a head coach, and then get to who you think is going to, or at least what you've heard a little bit, as much as you can divulge. Who is on the chopping block? I want to start with the coaching searches, though, and I want to start with the Florida Gators. Right when Billy got fired, we had our instant reaction to it. A bunch of names came up. Is there somebody? Let's just start. You think Lane Kiffin will take it? You think they want Lane? Do you think Lane would take it?
They want Lane.
Okay.
Do I know if Lane's going to take it yet? I don't think Lane has actually sat down and made that decision yet. So. Yeah. We'll find out whenever Ole Miss' season ends. And that's a whole factor we have to figure out here.
100%.
They're at Oklahoma this week. Mm-hmm. If they beat Oklahoma, they're really set up well to make the playoff. Mm-hmm. How deep do they go in the playoff? That's going to have a lot of implications on if he actually goes to Florida.
And, you know, I mean, I'm looking at it right now. I think it's going to be hard for them not to go 10-2 unless they just totally fall apart, which we have seen Lane Kiffin's teams struggling. It's teams they're supposed to beat down the stretch. But, you know, I think the fit is perfect. And this is what I said on the show. You know, there's an archetype of coach that has had uber success at Florida. They're got a lot of swagger. They're not afraid to tell you what they think. Yeah. They're not afraid to be a troll. Steve Spurrier, Urban Meyer. Lane Kiffin fits that. And to be honest with you, I'm 50-50 on whether I think Lane would take it. It's just pure gut. Because at Ole Miss, I feel like if he were to take them to the playoff, it's almost like the Bruce Pearl effect for Auburn basketball a little bit, in that he brought you to a place you never thought you were going to go to and cements you as a legend. And you could win 8-9 games every year from here on out and get your statue, get all this stuff. David, I mean, if you're Lane Kiffin and you had the chance to go to Florida, which I think is a top five job, in college football. What would you do just personally?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it feels like we were just here recently, right? Where he's who they wanted the previous time, and the daughter wrote a letter. I'm not sure how exactly all that played out.
But
seems like they've wanted him for a long time. He stayed put the last time. Auburn was the same situation. I mean, Auburn wanted Lane Kiffin. He was a hot commodity. I do think it's interesting this week when DJ Lagway, quarterback at Florida, was asked, hey, what's your thought process? He said, I'm a Florida Gator man. Obviously, that could all change in a couple months when the transfer portals open at the end of the season. But that job's even more attractive to me if you have DJ Lagway staying there to play quarterback.
So a couple things with Lane. First, you mentioned if he stays at Ole Miss, they might build a statue on Lane Kiffin.
Yeah.
If he goes to Florida, I mean, that we don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. When it comes to DJ, I know for a fact that DJ would like to play for Lane. Do I know that Lane wants DJ? I think that needs sorted out. I don't know the answer to that.
I feel like Lane could get this pin to win 8 games at quarterback if I asked him to. I mean, what he's done with Trinidad, I can only imagine. Because DJ, say what you want. I know he threw 5 interceptions against LSU. DJ Lagway's super talented. Mm-hmm. I mean, David, you played the position. Like, the dude can do everything. Yeah. You get him the tutelage of Lane Kiffin. Who knows? But what are some other guys? Is Urban Meyer a possibility?
No, Urban's not a possibility. I'd look at Eli Drinkwitz at Missouri. He has a track record of winning at an SEC program that has struggled to win historically. Jeff Brohm at Louisville. He's 4-0 now against AP top 25 teams.
Is he going to leave Louisville, season. Though? I mean, there's
a lot of coaches there. Right now who are at their alma maters who could be on the move. But that's another thing. Like when a contract is put in front of you to be the next head coach at Florida, are you turning it down? Yep. I mean, it's going to come with a lot of money too. Like I don't know what Jeff Brohm is going to do, but those are a lot of tough conversations.
So when you say no to Urban Meyer, that's specifically for Florida, or you're hearing that he's not going to get back into coaching, period?
I have heard Urban's name come up at Penn State. Mm. I texted Urban last week and asked Urban if, you know, he has interest in coaching. I got hit with the, you know, he didn't text me back, so.
Yeah, so I'm sure even if he did, it'd so I'm not, political.
But to answer your question, I am not going to be the person to come out and say, look for Urban Meyer here until I know Urban Meyer is actually committed.
I'd be surprised if Urban got back into it.
I would be surprised, yes. I get the people, though, who thinks it makes sense.
Especially at Penn State.
Dude's a ball coach. You can't go out like you did in Jacksonville.
Well, and now there's no Saban, so you can really be king of the castle, king of the castle. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, I just say, like, one guy, like, I don't think he gets talked about enough, and when he's like, Clark Lee.
Yeah.
Like, why is Clark Lee's name not coming up more in these situations? Look what he's
in all situations. I'm or hearing the Florida it. Situation.
I'm yeah, I put on that.
Penn State makes a ton of sense.
It should be all situations. It should be all situations. Clark Lee's name should come if it's a big job. I don't see why Clark Lee's name wouldn't come up.
Well, Penn State makes sense to me. Again, I just think there's a certain type of personality trait, and I get winning cures everything. And Clark Lee has done an incredible job at Vanderbilt. But I just feel like at Florida, they want to have a guy that, for lack of a better term, is going to get up there and talk shit and walk it after he talks it. That's just what we've seen in the past that worked. Look at everybody else. It hadn't worked. Billy Napier, great guy. Walk old ladies across the street. He'll buy all your Girl Scout cookies. But he didn't win, and he should have gotten fired. I think it was the right move for Florida to keep Billy last year after what happened in the back half of the season with DJ. It fell apart this year. I think it was right to fire him. Are there any other names out there for the Florida job that maybe people aren't, like a Fran Brown or somebody like that, that maybe people you haven't heard a lot out there kind of in the social media sphere or in the media sphere in general?
Well, Florida fans and donors want the modern day Steve Spurrier. Yeah. And that's what you get with Lane Kiffin or Eli Drinkwitz. They both wear visors too. Beyond those guys though, I mean, you know, Jed Fish, was a grad assistant on a Spurrier staff. You know, also wrote this morning, I really think they want a sitting Power Four head coach. I don't think they want to go the Group of Five, Group of Six route like they have in the past. So I really think those three guys.
Okay.
It's going to be Kiffin, Drink, and Brohm.
Okay.
And from there, you know, if things fall apart, they'll come up for air.
Brohm's got a little bit of that attitude toward him, too. He's not as out there on the podium saying, but you watch, there's an intensity level and a swag that comes with Brohm.
Now,
the dude wins.
Yeah.
Like, the man's like Diet Cignetti, to be honest with you, if we're telling the truth here. But, I mean, it's, man.
If I'm an AD, like, if I'm making a hire, I'm interviewing Fran Brown because I'm so confident that he can put an elite roster together.
Yeah.
But I understand that, you know, Syracuse is not, like, undefeated right now. Mm-hmm. Things haven't gone, you know, perfectly at Syracuse this season. Steve Angeli went down. He might not be the sexiest name, but if I want a program builder, I mean,
he'd kill it in recruiting.
He's punched above his weight.
I think you'd kill it at Penn State, too.
You know, a lot of times when we talk about, like, buying tickets is to the biggest game possible. Let me give you an under-the-radar game. How about South Florida going to Memphis?
Yeah.
Like, that has massive implications.
Playoff
implications. So if you want to go watch that game, you need to download the Game Time app. Use our code CRAIN, C-R-A-I-N. Get $20 off your first purchase. And, David, what is your favorite perk of the Game Time app?
Well, I love being able to see what seat I'm going to sit in beforehand. That's for obviously sure. awesome. And getting it up to the last minute. I mean, sometimes, you know, you're on the fence like, hey, we got Vanderbilt, Missouri right here, College Game Day this weekend. Now, I've already got my ticket. But if you don't already have yours, you can get that last minute and go down and see a top-ranked matchup.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So let's talk about Penn State.
Sure.
Then. twofold. One, you know, there was a lot of initially Matt Rhule talk to Penn State, obviously having played linebacker there. You know, who do you think Penn State's going to go after? And then can we also talk about the James Franklin side of this? I think that over the last few weeks, people have forgotten that James Franklin's still a really good football coach.
Yep.
Is he great? Is he elite? Is he going to do, like we said on College Game Day, go win a championship elsewhere? Maybe not, but he's still solid. Is the phone ringing off the hook for him right now?
Yeah, so you start with Matt Rhule. I would say that the Matt Rhule chatter is not really cooled off. I just think it's the nature of the beast. We're playing more football games. You know, people aren't talking about the Penn State job as much as the aftermath of when James was fired. In terms of James Franklin, I mean, like, outside of maybe like Florida and a couple other SEC jobs that open this cycle, I think he'll be the top name on every board.
But like, even Arkansas, like, what's Arkansas going to do?
Well, Virginia Tech wants James Franklin. That is very high.
Such a perfect fit.
That does feel, it just that makes
right.
sense.
But feels right. You mentioned Arkansas. I think Bobby Petrino has done a lot. And from speaking to industry sources, there is some thought that if he continues on the track they're on right now, that he's legitimately going to be given a shot.
What is that track? Just scoring a lot of points but still losing?
I mean, yes, but they've also like played two AP top 25 teams.
It feels like there's hope at Arkansas.
No, like
it does. Like just like in your
Bobby knew what he was doing.
Yeah,
but it's like it literally reminds me of that movie with Tom Valkyrie. Mm. You ever seen Valkyrie with Tom Cruise where he has the iPad?
Yeah, it's a great movie.
They do the coup. It was a coup. It worked.
Well, you knew Sam Pittman was on his way out, and Bobby Petrino would obviously be the next one. I'm just again. I've never seen a university rehire somebody that left like that. That's why the Urban Meyer thing in my mind at Florida is like, well, you know, we talk about in law, it's based on precedent. A precedent's been set. I think Bobby Petrino at Arkansas would be great. Have you heard any Rhett Lashley to Arkansas?
Yeah, so like, Rhett Lashley, like also a name top of the board that they'd really like. Does Rhett leave SMU? Could Rhett get better jobs in Arkansas this cycle? Those are questions people keep asking. You know, past those two names, you look at Ryan Silverfield at Memphis has had a ton of success. I know he just lost to UAB, but he's consistently won and proven he can build a program. Alex Golish, another name, you know, UCF beat Florida earlier this year. John Summerall's name is going to come up a lot this cycle. Arkansas would love to hire him.
He waiting?
I think he's going to wait to see what kind of opens before he, you know, jumps ahead.
We're going to get to that because there's that one's coming down the pipe too. But an intriguing one to me, what's going on at UCLA right now? And I know everybody looks at Neuheisel's kid and like he's the one leading the program, but in reality, he's not technically, you know, the interim head coach, but he is acting like the head coach after the games. Like it's just... You see the speeches that he's given and this, that, and the other. What are you hearing UCLA-wise? Because, I mean, that one to me, you know, beautiful there, this, that, and the other. I just don't know if I'm a top guy. Why would I take that? I mean, would James Franklin go take the UCLA job? Would that, you know, that seems like a weird fit to me, though.
You know, I think where you have to start right now, though, with UCLA is give Tim Skipper his flowers. He's the interim head coach.
Yeah.
You don't see him as much as Jerry Neuheisel. That's not a shot at Jerry Neuheisel. But what Tim Skipper's done and the stories that have come out of there, like, he got the interim job and he told the players to, like, clean the locker room. Like, he's all about – he was the interim at Fresno State last year. They're bowl eligible. I think he's going to be a serious name at UCLA if he continues to win. You know, past that, you know, Casey Wasserman, who's organizing the LA Olympics, a couple of the Washington Commanders general manager, they're kind of like leading the charge with the UCLA coaching search. Guys like Dave Aranda popped up initially. You know, names like that. UCLA is taking some like early swings at some folks. I don't want to name names just because they're not really out there yet, but. They're trying their best to you know, make it a splashy hire. I think there's a lot of questions about what the future of the administration looks like with the athletic director, Martin Jarman. And then every candidate that they're talking to is asking questions about commitment to football.
That would be the biggest holdup for me. Like, listen, I understand I love trees as much as anybody else, but we need to spend money to win football games. Like, love the environment, but we need a great environment for the games.
So just like we talked about Penn State and James Franklin, what about Oklahoma State and Mike Gundy. Mike Gundy has said he wants to coach again. And then on the Oklahoma State side of things, they were one of those programs when Texas and Oklahoma left the Big 12, they kind of, hey, we're going to position ourselves to really run this conference. And so far they've seen BYU have a lot of success, Arizona State win the conference.
Cincinnati.
I mean, Cincinnati's on the rise. Yeah. Texas Tech spending a lot of money on the rise.
Oklahoma State was one play away from a...
Yeah.
You know, and so what? So both of those things, Oklahoma State moving forward and Mike Gundy.
So Oklahoma State is in no rush to make a hire. Now, obviously, they want to make a hire for the early national signing day on December 3rd, but they're, I don't like expect to hire next week by any means either. Zach Robinson is the former Oklahoma State quarterback who's the Falcons offense coordinator. While I understand the Falcons have not had the best season on the offensive side of the ball, the idea of bringing him home has gotten a lot of traction with the top donors there. Another name at Oklahoma State is the Nebraska offense coordinator, Dana Holgorsen.
Oh.
He has a relationship with a top donor from his time at Houston. So that's a name.
Okay. Is it just tough to watch Willie Fritz having a lot of success at Houston right now when, you know,
I can't speak for Dana, but probably. Other names at Oklahoma State, though, too, are like Todd Monken, the Ravens OC,
sure,
who used to be at Oklahoma State, Jim Knowles. I know for a fact Jim Knowles has some interest in the Oklahoma State job. So we'll see how that shuffles out. I think they're still in the early to mid stages. Really, mid is pushing it too.
Well, I you know, another name that doesn't get talked about enough is Buster Faulkner. What he's done. I mean, obviously at Georgia, we know, and then going over to Georgia Tech. I mean, look at and I know Haynes King's a tough ass dude and this side or the other, but Buster has put together him and Brent an offense with a lot of identity and does a really good job.
Listen, I think he's a name to know at Virginia Tech. I think he is probably a name to know at Oklahoma State. I also, UAB is open. Like, that could be a good starting point for his head coaching career. Another, G6 head coach who's going to make a lot of waves if he doesn't sign a contract extension is North Texas, Eric Morris.
Yeah.
I mean, they've had a hell of a start to the year. Him at Oklahoma State would make a lot of sense.
Would he be willing to go take a high level offensive coordinator? Because we've seen coaches that have left to, you know, being head coaches at places to go be coordinators at another higher level. And we'll get into this in a bit. But if I'm a big time program, if you know, I'm somebody that hires a defensive head coach or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd throw the bag at this. You look at the quarterback. He's the best quarterback coach in the country, I think.
I mean, you look at his true freshman quarterback, and I know he struggled against USF, but you take that game out. I mean, his freshman quarterback has been great, too.
Okay.
So I do think he's a name on, an Arkansas and Oklahoma State board right now.
That'd be interesting.
You asked me about Mike Gundy. I don't know what Mike Gundy's going to do.
TB?
I'd say TBD right now.
Yeah. It just feels like a TV move.
He's going to be broadcast something. He'll be on ESPN or something.
And he'll probably do a great job. It'll be
hilarious. For sure. Why wouldn't he?
He's got a great personality.
I wouldn't be surprised.
You guys have heard of the Bearskin hoodie, right? Well, the smart people are locking in their winter gear now because this is hands down the best time to prep for the coming winter. And it is coming. Bearskin's running a 60% off deal right now, but only if you get your hoodie early. It's built like a tank, 340 GSM, micro fleece, 10 pockets with a clean, rugged fit that looks awesome. Plus, it zips right into a heavy storm rain jacket to become 100% waterproof when you need it. So when it turns cold, wet, and windy, you're not scrambling in the last minute. You can see it here. We got both of them. We've all worn them. We love them. Have fun over there with it, Coney. You'll get free U.S. shipping, fast delivery, and you've locked in your winter gear already. It's a great feeling, and it's a win-win. So do yourself a favor. Text the word CRAIN, that's C-R-A-I-N, to 36912 to lock in that 60% off. Again, text CRANE to 36912. You'll get the link sent straight to your phone so you can check it out later if you're busy right now. So don't wait until you're freezing to realize that your hoodie sucks. Get a Bearskin now while it's 60% off. Text CRAIN to 36912. All right, let's move on to coaches on the chopping block.
Oh, well, I know of one. Hugh Freeze.
I mean, what's the status, you think?
I mean, at this point, every weekend we walk into, I'm saying if he loses this team, he's going to get fired. But he keeps losing these teams and not get fired. But if he loses Arkansas, there's no way. There's no way Hugh Freeze doesn't get fired if he loses Arkansas.
So they're 0-4 in the SEC. He brought back Peyton Thorne last year. I know you two have a lot of opinions on that one.
That were right, by the way.
I never said anyone was wrong. Jackson Arnold has not worked out the way Hugh Freeze hoped. They're evaluating the quarterback position right now. Ashton Daniels, again, first team reps. this is a must-win game, I'd say, for Hugh Freeze.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, you know, come out and say if he loses, he's done. But in the world of must-win games, beating Arkansas is very high up there.
Yeah. To me, I mean, at this point, it almost feels like it's just a matter of when, not if.
Oh, I've already moved on mentally.
You're already past it?
I'm already looking at a candidate.
But has Auburn's AD, that's the thing, is like, so what is the thought process from the athletic department right now in terms of, do they want to have someone else already locked in before they make a move, or does Hugh Freeze still have an opportunity to keep that job?
You know, the back half of the season, you know, there's a lot of games that Hugh can win, so I think they're going to let Hugh have a shot to see what can happen. You know, at the same time, like, from conversations with some sources, like, I think some informal discussions are starting to be had with boosters to, you know, discuss what might happen. And you know, in a place like Auburn, too, everyone's going to have an opinion. So I think I'd be a little surprised if they made a move on Hugh and already had the head coach picked out. Mm-hmm. But that's going to be a popular job if it does open. Hugh had a press conference Monday where he said he would love John Cohen, the athletic director, to come out and kind of give him a vote of confidence. He said that would be huge.
Yeah, well, I'd love to be 7 foot tall and play for the Mavericks.
Well, isn't that what kind of happened? Like, didn't he come out and say,
Say that he wasn't expecting, but that was like before the losses to Georgia and Missouri, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, well, and then you had the one where you talked about, you know, well, my car, if I walked outside, it could not start this, that, or the other. I just, again, here's what worries me, just on a personal note from Auburn. And when you look at John Cohen, and these are my words, at Auburn as AD, what has he done right? You didn't hire Bruce Pearl. You didn't hire Butch Thompson. What have you done right? I mean, Stephen Pearl, again, I has a lot of room, and I think Stephen has a chance to do a really good job. But I'm kind of worried about this guy picking the next coach, to be honest, if he is picking him. Because if he's not picking them, then the boosters are picking them. Or you have some firm that's going to go do the search that you hire, this, that, and the other. Let's just play the hypothetical, if you can. Let's say Hugh Freeze is no longer the Auburn head coach. Are there a couple names that just instantly rise to the surface that you think would get more play than others? Because I think the Lane train's already, that one's already crossed the tracks, and I don't know if it's coming back.
If Lane stays at Ole Miss, he stays, or he goes to Florida. That's kind of my take on it right now. I mean, John Summerall at Tulane is going to be like top three names on the board, I think, at Auburn. You know, I'm trying to think off the top of my head right now. I think John Summerall, it's going to be hard to, that is a job he will want if it opens for my end.
And you know what I like about John? John's not with the bullshit.
No.
Like, watch the way the man talks. It's very simple. Either you're going to help us win or you're not going to be here. It's not this, well, you know, I tell you what, he volunteers at bingo night on Thursdays at the nursing home, or, oh, well, you know, I don't need you to have resurrected yourself to be something that you need to win games. You need to be about it. John Summerall, I think, has that dog in him that Hugh just, and again, these are my words, that Hugh doesn't. Like, I understand you want to, formulating great people is a part of the job of a coach and of a leader. I get that. But you also have to win, because if you don't win, all you are is a camp counselor. That's it. And you're getting paid millions of dollars to be a camp counselor and watch guys throw football through a tire swing in front of the camp cabin.
Well, coaching is a result-based business.
It is. Like, I'm sorry. It is what it is. It is what it is.
And if Hugh does get fired, I think Summerall will be a good fit. I don't know why. Maybe just because he just started being a coordinator technically. But somebody someday is going to go snatch Brian Hartline from Ohio State.
I just don't know if he's proven it.
And make him be a head coach. I can see it now. I'm just telling you, I bet you'll know you'll have good receivers year in, year out. Someone's going to go get the guy, and he's proven it right now. He can call plays.
Yeah.
So you know another name at Auburn, and you're really going to like this one. Clark Lee.
Every day at Sierra, you'll find top brand apparel, footwear, and gear for 20 to 60% less than department and specialty store prices. And during clearance time at Sierra, those incredible prices are 40 divided by 2.5, carry the one, even lower. And when you shop clearance at Sierra, you can save a whole lot more on everything you need to get active and outside. That's a lot of savings. Epic brands, fast selection, teeny tiny prices. That's Sierra. Visit your local Sierra store today or shop online at sierra.com.
And also, he started a school for gifted mutants as well. So I would love Clark Lee at Auburn. Get me the scientist in here. Get him in here. Clark Lee's, look, listen to Clark Lee talk, especially now that he's kind of coming out of his cage a little bit, as Blaine would say.
Diego Pavia is running off, rubbing off on him.
Hey, that seventh year, I mean, could we get it?
No.
Could we get it?
No. He doesn't want it.
Another part of this conversation are coordinators from the NFL coming down. You talked about a couple. Todd Monken is especially attractive because, I mean, offensive coordinator for Georgia's back-to-back national championships. Coordinator right now for the Baltimore Ravens. Joe Brady is another name that gets talked about a lot, was the OC for that 2019 LSU run national championship, currently the OC with the Buffalo Bills. Those two guys specifically, is there a lot of interest to be head coaches at the college level, or are they kind of cemented themselves as NFL guys?
So Monken has the connection to Oklahoma State. He was with Gundy there. So I think that's why that gets brought up. I think there's a better shot that Joe Brady's going to be an NFL head coach next year than a college head coach.
Yeah. They're good. The NFL's going young, man.
Yeah,
like that. And Joe fits that. I mean, absolutely.
So what about John Gruden then? I mean, everyone talks about this because of the statement he made about wanting to coach in the SEC.
Yeah.
Is there any possibility of Gruden coming down to the college level?
So Steve Spurrier talked to my colleague Chris Lowe, and you know, he was talking about how he's going to stay neutral, but he did happen to name drop John Gruden in like the same quote. So I thought that was interesting. I don't know. I think John Gruden would be great for a school that needs to, you know, kind of re-energize a fan base, bring some more eyes to the school. And I think that he could do it. And from speaking with some sources, I know for a fact he's been meeting with some agents to have a better understanding of revenue sharing and NIL and trying to formulating a plan for if he did get a college job. I'm not ready, though, to come out and, like, link him to a job just yet. I think it's, A, every job that's open right now is still in a very early stage. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, though, too, like, I, you know, is the better fit for him to start at like a really good group of six job and work his way up? And I know I'll probably get laughed at for saying that, but it might be the best way to get into college.
I don't think that's crazy. Would he take Tulane? Like a place like Tulane?
Yeah. Well, if Tulane opens, I think like every like coordinator in the country is going to want that job.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, that could make sense.
Florida State, I mean, that's another big one. I mean, I know Mike Norvell's buyout is like the GDP of a small Eastern European country. What are you hearing on that? I mean,
yeah.
Good God, Pete, you want this roller coaster ride for Florida State fans? Like, it's insane.
It is.
Like, it's legitimately the mental asylums around Tallahassee. You've got to be full. People just eating spiders and scratching walls.
So 2023, perfect season. Mm-hmm. Don't make CFP. 2024, 2-10. They reset. They spend over $20 million on this year's roster. They beat Alabama. Everyone thinks they're back. Now they've lost four straight. Mike Norvell's seat is scalding hot. That's not some like take. That's reality. Yeah. Boosters, decision makers had a lot of phone calls Sunday. There almost seemed to be movement to make a move this past weekend, but then the Florida State Athletic Director, Mike Lauford, came out and said that we're going to do an assessment of the program after the season. We're sticking with Mike through like the next five or six games, whatever they got left. My take, I think we'll see. I mean, like they got Wake Forest on November 2nd coming off the bye. Mm-hmm. If they lose to Wake Forest and there's only like 10,000 people at Doak Campbell, like things are going to get interesting really fast.
What are some names
for
that? I mean, I know there's one out in Colorado right now that's going to get brought up.
The name you're going to call is probably.
Is it, though? Because, I mean, I've never heard Deion Sanders get talked about less since he's been at the college level than right now.
Yeah, I think what Deion Sanders has done at Colorado has been extremely impressive. I know he's dealing with some health stuff that he's had to work through the last 6 months. I hope he's doing okay. I don't know if he's ready to go try to take on Florida State. That's not to say that I don't think he'd have success there, though, either. I think he would. My first two phone calls, though, if I'm Florida State, I'm calling James Franklin and I'm calling Kenny Dillingham. I know for a fact James Franklin can put us in the top half of the ACC at the very least. You're not playing Ohio State and Oregon in the ACC. And he's also proven he can build a program up from a point. You know, when he took over at Penn State, and Bill O'Brien did a great job getting it to where it was when James walked in, but like those first two seasons were not pretty.
Yeah.
Kenny Dillingham, former Florida State offense coordinator, I think it'd be a no-brainer to call Kenny. I don't know if Kenny's taking it, though, because he's at his alma mater right now.
Yeah.
What about Rhett?
Yeah, Rhett's another known. I mean, Rhett's going to come up in all these jobs. Like, Rhett at Florida could make sense. Rhett at Florida State could make sense. Rhett at Arkansas obviously makes sense. I don't know if he wants that. I think Rhett could, like, have his pick of the litter if he wanted to get aggressive.
Man, it's going to get nuts. Mm. I mean, it's always nuts when we get around this time of year, but the amount of big jobs that could open this cycle, I mean, I know you're going to be...
I mean, you look at Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of buzz right now that the AD is trying to work on, you know, kind of coming up with a plan to invest heavy in the portal and put a really good roster in.
Give Luke Fickell one more shot at it.
And I kind of get it because I think Luke Fickell was like the guy that Wisconsin would want to have success with. Mm-hmm. But like, that's a job a lot of people are going to want. You talk about hypotheticals, like if Matt Rhule does leave, like Nebraska is going to be a huge job that opens up. I don't even think we've seen like half of the dominoes fall.
Yeah. Well, for
what
one
about what about Matt Campbell? Usually his name's coming.
His name's going to come up.
He always wins at Iowa State. Brings a certain type of ball.
Yeah. I mean, I love the idea, man. It's another situation like of we talked Fran Brown, like, and I know Matt Campbell's had more success than Fran, but like if I'm an AD. I'm interviewing Matt Campbell for like basically any job. Like I put out a list of names at Penn State. It was like Matt Rhule, Clark Lee, Matt Campbell. Like I think those are like the names that would make a lot of sense there. I think Matt Campbell is also going to be particular about what he knows what he's good at. I don't know if, you know, he wants to like try to go take on the SEC. I think he'd love to get in the Big Ten though.
Yeah. Part of me thinks Matt Campbell's an NFL guy. At the end of the day, like part of me,
really,
yeah,
I agree.
And here's the thing: when I was coaching, when I was up in Iowa coaching, we went to clinic at Iowa State. Golish was there too at the time, so I knew Joe Houston was a special teams guy. That place is run. If you walk in that building, that place is so detailed. It's just there's such a professional feel to the way that Matt Campbell does things. It is truly an organization up there that he has total control over. And I mean, Matt's a really good dude too. I know that doesn't make you a great coach, but there's just some, it just feels right for when we're looking at college guys that could be NFL guys, Matt Campbell's a guy I would have on that list. I'd 100% have him on the list. But any other teams, any other thing top of mind to you that you want to share with us? Or
I would just say, like, when we talk about this coaching carousel, there's going to be like a couple more surprises. Mm-hmm. A couple sitting Power Four head coaches will probably take jobs, which is going to continue to open up more jobs. So just be on the lookout for that.
Well, Pete, you do a great job, man. Let our viewers out there, because I'm sure most of our audience knows who you are, but if they don't, where can they follow you? Because, man, you have absolutely shot to the top of the charts when it comes to getting quality information, getting that information out, and leading fans to a point where most likely the outcome, they're going to know what it is.
I appreciate that.
No problem,
buddy. Just find me at on3.com.
Okay.
It's everything you need in college sports.
It's great to see you, buddy.
Thanks,
welcome,
man.
To the dojo.
Appreciate
we
it.
Definitely got to get you back. Appreciate you guys joining us again. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. A ton going on the field, ton going on off the field. Make sure you're locked in with Pete Nakos over there at On3 as well. And like the chances of me, you know, Auburn asked me to pick the next head coach.
Let me do it.
Not taking it.
Let me do it. I'll fix it.
Yeah. We're going. Go on.